You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is Thursday, July 8th, and today we got our friend Jenna Harner from Channel 11 WPXI on the show here talking Steelers with you. First, we dive into something that Trey Turner said Tuesday about the Steelers that I found very interesting and what he expects of the offensive line. We'll talk about the O-line in general based off of those comments and then dip into a rankings from ESPN compiled of executives, coaches, and players in the NFL on who is the best edge rusher and where TJ fits in the currently ranked edge rushes in the NFL, all right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, which you can find anywhere, but especially on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and the app Odyssey. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y Odyssey. Remember to rate us 5 stars with a positive comment, and you get a special shout out after the show. Let's get into it. So just like last week, we're going to bring Jenna Harner on a Thursday. Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI TV. Jenna, how you doing? I know that, so guys, while you guys were celebrating the 4th, this woman was covering the 4th. She was doing firework coverage on TV. How was your 4th, like, having to report on the fireworks and just the festivities of, hey, Pittsburgh, you're out and about after the pandemic?
Let me tell you, everybody, when I moved here, everyone's like, okay, Pittsburgh's fireworks are unlike anything you've ever seen. And I'm not gonna lie. I was like, okay, I love me some good fireworks. I've never seen like New York City's giant ones in person. Obviously, you know, watch the Macy's thing on TV and all that. But I was like, all right, you know, I'm excited. These are gonna be some great fireworks. I did not know how great these fireworks are going to be. And it was magical. It was, I was blown away. I'm down at the point watching these fireworks. I just was in shock. I was watching it. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this is incredible. Not to mention the people. It was that moment where I was like, I think it was kind of one of the signifiers of, you know, this is the first holiday really that the majority of people have really been able to get out and celebrate all together. And it was like, there were people as far as you could see, not only like right at the point you looked across the North Shore in front of Heinz Field on the shore, on the, you know, all the way on the lawn next to it. It was just like crowds of people. And it was like, okay, we're back. This is awesome.
That had to be really dope. I was still in wedding festivities mode during that time. But it looked cool. I gotta say, as a person who grew up in Pittsburgh, and like I hear that like Zambelli or the company that does the fireworks or whatever, I've grown up with them. I guess maybe they are the best around, because whenever I go to see fireworks now, I'm like, man, seen it. Like I nothing surprised. Like there's nothing about it. It's like, whoa, that's really cool. It's like, no, that's pretty much every summer in Pittsburgh, I see that. So I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiled.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say I was the total reverse of that. So like seeing it coming here, being like, oh no, these lived up. It's things that live up to the hype that you get excited about, that they lived up to the hype.
That's certainly exciting. Now let's get to some football talk, Jenna. One group that's gonna have to live up to some hype, and I'm not sure if there's that much hype around them, is the Steelers offensive line. Yep. Now, their newest offensive lineman, Trey Turner, went on NFL Total Access on Tuesday talking about him signing with the team and his excitement to do that. And, you know, he talked about how the Steelers have a style of football. And here's the quote that he said. He's like, it's just one of those teams, one of those organizations that they always have. They always compete. They're always in the game. They always play they play my style of football. They have a great quarterback in the head of the center. And but they also like to run the ball, and that's something I'm excited about. And he said, you know, the Steelers play smash mouth. He's like, and able to get out and pull, get in some space and run a little bit, just have a little bit of fun, man. It's fun when you're throwing the touchdowns, but I think it's even more fun when you're able to run them into. Now, Trey Turner saying, talking about smash move about football, you know, as again, a person who grew up in Pittsburgh, that's what Pittsburgh had been for so long, whether it was the Steelers of the 70s or Bam Morris or Jerome Bettis, you know, even with Le'Veon Bell, there was smash mouth football being involved. That hasn't been the case since Le'Veon Bell left, and especially last year. So it's interesting that he talks about that mentality, Jenna, because that hasn't been their identity for some time. And he's being brought to an organization to be a Kickstarter for that to become that identity again.
Yeah, it's almost kind of, you wonder, it's like, okay, when was the last time you really, really intently watched this movie? And I don't mean that in a terribly negative way, but just the fact that, again, that hasn't been their MO, clearly not last year and really not the last couple of years until, like you said, when Le'Veon Bell was kind of at his peak here with the Steelers. I think it's obviously something that they want to get back to. And I think that's a huge reason why Najee Harris is here and why they bring a guy like Turner into the mix for all of this. But it seems to be trending in the right direction where he's excited to get to that level. I think that's where the Steelers want to go. That's a good sign. But again, obviously, I feel like we keep talking about, you know, it's one thing they can say that they want to get back to all this, all they want. They can say they want to get back to that style. They can say they don't want to be last in rushing anymore, but it's one of those, we'll wait and see it. And then once we see it, then we'll believe it type things.
Right. It's going to be something that, it, you know, even fans are like, it can this offensive line be good? You mean, and let's face it, the Steelers, you know, talking about being spoiled with me at fireworks, Steelers fans have been spoiled for the past decade. You had Marquise Pouncey, a perennial Pro Bowl center. You have David DeCastro for most of that decade. Villanueva was a solid left tackle for a long time. You had Ramon Foster, a solid guard. They've had that structure and that offensive line there for the better part of a decade. And now that's gone. And now that sense of security, that sense of, oh, you're always fine. It's just like having Ben Roethlisberger. You know, you don't have to think about going out and getting a new quarterback this year because you got that guy. It was the same thing with the offensive line. And now you're going to have to deal with a whole bunch. I mean, everybody's going to be basically doing something new. Okorafor, he ain't started left tackle for the team yet. He's been a right tackle. Trey Turner, new guy on the team. Kevin Dotson only has 4 starts on his belt. Kendrick Green, literally a rookie. That's not something that's easy to find shelter in.
No. And it's going to be something too, where it's going to be noticeable. It's funny because and maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, but when there's good offensive line play, you almost as a casual viewer don't entirely notice it because of the fact that it's just, oh, the offense is running the way that it's supposed to be running. But when there's not solid offensive play, all of a sudden you notice so many more weaknesses among a team. Teams are getting to opposing quarterbacks faster. Ben Roethlisberger potentially might be going down a little bit more. He's getting sacked. You're going to notice it. You're going to notice there are going to be early struggles with this offensive line. Just in the fact that they haven't played together. The majority of these guys have not played on the line together consistently. You're going to notice it. It's going to be something that, you know, until they get, you know, a little bit more consistency under their belt, it's not going to be something immediate.
Right. I agree. It's going to be something that takes time to notice. I want to dip more into this part of the conversation because I agree entirely with something you said about the offensive line there. But we'll get to that right after we talk to our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag, the only place that we trust here in the Locked On Podcast Network to place bets on. Even though football season's over, there's a ton of different ways to make money by gambling on sports right now. If you go to BetOnline.ag today and sign up for your free account, you'll get a 50% bonus to your first deposit simply by entering the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters and all one word. And that will get you your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Right now, sure, the NFL is done, but you can put money down on where certain free agents might be going in the NFL. You can also bet on college basketball, the NBA, and the NHL. All different ways to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. BetOnline.ag. Remember, use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, to get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back here in the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Hunter of Channel 11 WPXI. We're continuing our talk on the offensive line. Trey Turner calling the Steelers smash mouth football. Is that their identity? And Jenna, you brought up a great point. The offensive line, you don't get the kind of praise. You obviously, it's one of the hardest things to notice unless, you know, they're pancaking somebody and they're slamming people around. But when the offensive line is kicking butt, the first person you hear say that is the announcer in the game. But like when you're at the bar watching the Steelers game, you ain't talking about the offensive line. You're talking about, wait, what's Ben doing? What's Chase doing? What's Juju doing? What's the defense doing? But the offensive line, they often get the least amount of praise when they're doing it. The first time you usually hear their name is when they blow a sack or they get a holding call or they jump a false start. That's been the problem. And when I played City League football, I played for Taylor Alderdice High School in the city of Pittsburgh. And every game we had Mr. James Woody Miller. He was our announcer. He was always fun, but you know, every game he always did the unsung heroes of the game. And he would announce both teams starting offensive lines as a knowledge, like these kids won't get their names called if I don't do this. But that's the nature of the game. And so oftentimes as the offensive lineman, you just got to be the guy that doesn't get his name called. And that means you're probably doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. And that's kind of, again, that's what you want to see when you see, you don't want to notice the offensive line. The only times you really want to notice them are, like you said, when they're pancaking somebody or when they make a really great block. Those are the things that we talk about, but it really doesn't get talked about as much until it's the reversal of that, until you see kind of the mistakes, those are exacerbated. But with what you were saying earlier about Turner and just kind of what he was talking about, you know, the smash mouth football, it's so funny because immediately when I heard that quote, I'm trying to remember, I want to say it was Kevin Dotson, that when we were talking to Kevin Dotson at minicamp a couple weeks ago, and we were kind of getting some insight as to how they'd been working with new offensive line coach Adrian Clem, getting his take on everything, you know, what he wants to do for these guys. I feel like Zach Banner talked about it a little bit as well, but just the fact that like that seems to tie in exactly to what Adrian Clem has been preaching to these guys, or at least what they've been telling us that he's been preaching to them, where, you know, we want to get angry, we want to get up in people's faces in that way. And I'm probably misquoting it a little bit because story of my life, but that to me, that it just like the two seem so synonymous. That seems exactly the brand of offensive line football that Adrian Clem wants this Steelers offensive line to come into this season with. So of course that's an optimistic thing.
Right. I agree with your sentiment there, is that a lot of this is optimism, but like you said, with Adrian Clem, with the hype that he's feeding into, because Adrian Clem also, you've been on the Zooms with him. He's very soft spoken. Like he's not, he's not a booming voice. He's kind of like, you know, in fact, like I joked around, like when he did his YouTube, when I have to put his videos on YouTube, it's like, man, I can't hear a word he's saying. When I'm transcribing his notes, I'm like, oh, I got to turn this all the way up because he's so soft spoken. But, you know, when Core Four talked about it just a little bit, Kevin Dotson was the first person who brought it up. You know, he was the one that said he teaches us to run through his face.
Yep. That's the quote. That's it. Get up in their face, run through their face.
Exactly. No, but run through your face. That mentality, we've asked, you know, multiple offensive linemen, they're like, yeah, that's what he's preaching. And if Trey Turner can be like that, Kevin Dotson, we kind of see that he's like that already. Kendra Green played like that in college. We'll see how he adapts to it in the pros. But that's three interior offensive linemen who, if they fit that mold, it changes a lot about what you're doing in the offense. And then maybe we are talking about smash mouth football, because Najee Harris is smash mouth. As elusive as he is, also, I did a Carter's Classroom for DK Pittsburgh Sports on his receiving skills. Go check that out. Just break it down. You know, everyone's going to be like, ooh, the one-handed catches. Like, but yes, but look at his routes. Look at how he sets people up. Look at how he understands different challenges and adapts to them. Those are the things that make him special there. But again, that's something else for another day. But Najee Harris, he runs the ball so well in traffic, both being more physical than his opponents, but also knowing when to not have to be more physical. Yeah. All those are balances, because smash mouth football, like the Steelers of the 70s, Franco Harris ran out of bounds plenty of times to avoid contact. Why? Because I'm going to make sure that I'm healthy for the rest of the game. And that is something that's part of being smash mouth football, is learning to preserve yourself while also imposing your will on the other team.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It comes down to opposing your will on the other team, whether it's, you know, guys that are making big blocks and, you know, giving Ben Roethlisberger the time and space that he needs, or it's the fact that you have Najee Harris explode for a 20-yard run when he knows he could get 21, 22, he could get that with some contact versus just, you know, hey, I'm sneaking out of bounds, I'm getting what I can, and I'm making sure that I'm as healthy as possible to help this offensive line continue to progress.
Right. And that's the thing, is keeping them up. Because then again, if taking that hit keeps them on the field for two more plays, maybe if avoiding that hit, that means why not do that? You know, and unless a first down's on the line or a touchdown's on the line.
Circumstantially, of course.
Right. And another part of it, that's where the football awareness comes in. Where, you know, when I watch Najee Harris, he has that football awareness. But again, in a segment about the offensive line, here we go talking about the running back, more about, you know, the unsung heroes of the game.
Exactly. See, it's case in point.
We did it ourselves. And this is a guy who played offensive line. But back to Turner and Clem and that and this crew that we're talking about right now. If they become that group and they are a set, and I'm not expecting this to happen overnight. I'm not saying week one Buffalo, they're just bowling people over.
No,
it's going to be something that's going to take. It takes time. I mean, when DeCastro and Pouncey were first young Steelers, it was the first game, I want to say, to the 2013 season, and it was like, and David DeCastro tried to cut block somebody. He accidentally cut block Marquise Pouncey and took him out for the year. Like, those are the types of things that sometimes happen when young guys are gelling together, and that's going to have to be something that Steelers fans are patient about.
Yeah, it is going to be one of those, you know, I don't want to say, you know, you have to let things progress as they're going to progress, trust the process, quote unquote, if you will. But this is something that isn't just going to happen overnight with this offensive line gelling. There are going to be some mistakes, some maybe way more prevalent than others, but it is something that there is the potential here, but it's going to take time for these guys to really gel with one another to get to that level of that smash mouth that they've talked about already so much.
Exactly. That's something that's going to take time. Something we're going to be talking a lot about and see how they do this year. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, there was a list released by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN on the top edge rushers in the NFL. We'll talk about who those are and where, of course, TJ Watt ranked. But first, we're going to talk to our friends at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's LOCKED, Locked On, in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. You need a snack that's going to both help you get through the rest of your day, but also be good for you. That's where Built Bar comes in. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors, including 6 of their newest ones, being caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. There's so much to enjoy, and also, don't forget, they help you lose and maintain weight. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for anyone that's currently on a keto diet. Right now, Built Bar has a special promo code for you to get a great deal on their website. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKEDON15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. Jenna, so, of course, whenever we're talking about edge rushers in Pittsburgh these days, everyone immediately goes to TJ Watt and talks about how great he is, and they thought he should have been defensive player of the year and all that, all those things. But there was recently a list that was compiled. It was reported by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, talking to executives, coaches, and players, and, you know, ranking their top 10 edge rushers in the year. And according to the composite list that he put together, you know, when combining all these rankings, the number one edge rusher for everyone was Myles Garrett, putting him as the number one guy. And TJ Watt came in second in these votings. Now, here's the other thing. We don't know how, you know, what point, if there's a point system or how this was organized as far as like things that go into it. But, you know, it's one of those things that I think it's good that people acknowledge that it's good that TJ Watt's getting acknowledged as one of the best edge rushers in football, because he is, you know. But some Steelers fans are like, how is Myles Garrett over him when literally every single season they've both been in the league, because they were drafted in the same round, TJ Watt has had more sacks, more pressures, and just he's been a more productive edge rusher. I wanted to get your sense, Jenna. Where do you think that TJ Watt is in a place where he's debatably the best edge rusher or definitively the best edge rusher?
Well, I have to say debatably, just because you could debate anything. That's just
very true. There,
you could make an argument for anything. So this isn't Steelers fans, do not come for me. I'm not saying that in that way, but you can make
come for her. Go get her.
No. I'm saying no. But you know, we've talked about this too with any of these lists, but like, they're made so people can have discussion. That's why they're here. I do like the fact that, you know, Jeremy Fowler kind of explained a little bit in the article that he wrote about it, just kind of saying, you know, Garrett and TJ Watt both traded first place votes. It's not like it was, you know, immediately outright. But they basically said that Myles Garrett won out based on his magnificent traits. And then there was talk about Watt, an NFC defensive coach said, quote, "The truth is he might not have been the best athlete at his own position." They were referring to Bud Dupree as well, saying, you know, TJ Watt isn't the most explosive guy, but he's so damn relentless and smart and technically perfect that he just wins. He'll probably have a Hall of Fame career for all of those reasons. And that to me is exactly what it is. Because sometimes you look at positions and you're like, they might not be the best at the position. Again, TJ Watt is arguably number one or number two at that position. No doubt in my mind, top three, 100%. Mm-hmm. But that kind of makes a lot of sense to me, where, you know, Garrett has a little bit more of seemingly the physical traits. And again, not saying that Watt doesn't have that. I don't know how many times I can stress that. But that is something TJ Watt, you know, has that relentlessness. He's just always there. I think his football IQ, in my opinion, and granted, how do you really, really measure that? But to me, his football IQ surpasses Garrett's in that sense. Garrett has a little bit more of the physical explosiveness traits there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he has the size, he has the explosiveness. I mean, you look at Myles Garrett just as a human being. He's like, he's sculpted, you know.
Do we remember seeing him in the draft this year in that suit? I think his biceps were the size of my quads.
Yeah. It's just, he's a ridiculously built human being. So I get that. Like, when I see that, I'm like, I respect about Myles Garrett. But again, I look at results. I look at production. I look every single year, TJ Watt gets more sacks. And if you want to say, well, he gets Myles Garrett gets double teamed more, you know, TJ Watt deals with a lot of double teams and a lot of holds.
Actually, look at the end of last season when Bud was injured. Mm-hmm. Case in point, they were practically isolating TJ Watt in that spot, and he still found a way to get to guys.
He was still doing that. That's something he does extremely well. And here's the other thing. There's plenty of very good edge rushers to great edge rushers in the NFL. Other guys that made this list, at number three, they had Joey Bosa of the Chargers, Khalil Mack of the Bears at four, Chandler Jones of the Chargers at five, Von Miller of the Broncos at six, Chase Young. I mean, Chase Young's at seven, and on a list with so many talented guys, for him to be seven in just his second year is ridiculous. He, like Myles Garrett, is a freak of nature athlete. I look at him. You got Nick Bosa, the other Bosa brother, with the Niners at eight, Cameron Jordan at nine from the Saints, and Danielle Hunter from the Vikings at 10. You know, and that still leaves off Shaquille Barrett, you know, Frank Clark, Brian Burns, and even Bud Dupree, being in that mix. Jenna, when you think of some of the other edge rushers out there, excluding Watt and Garrett, who are like the two or three guys that jump in your mind that they're part of the guys that define the position for you?
I feel like you have to go Khalil Mack. And I think maybe there's a little bit of a bias there for me because of his UB ties. And love Buffalo. But just especially, I mean, just even being there and hearing people talk about the way that they talked about him, hearing his coaches from what he was able to do in college, in the Mack. He wasn't in the SEC. He didn't play at Alabama, at LSU, any of these huge, you know, big name schools in that way. But he was able to do what he does, and he's just so good. He was also last year's number one on this list. So just to put things in context, TJ Watt finished this list at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett, I believe, finished at 5 last year. So
for
what it's worth for everybody that panics about, again, about these things. Mack's done with injuries and everything like that. But like when he makes those plays, you're just like, oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like jaw dropping. And then I honestly, to me, Chase Young absolutely should be a little higher than 7. I don't know if I'm putting him like catapulting him into like the top 5. So maybe 6, maybe 5. But again, like you just mentioned, he's such a freak of nature, and for him in a good way, but for him being as young as he is, and he was a rookie that we saw, he didn't, you know, come in and was timid or things like that. It took him a little while to develop. He came in, he was ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that he came in right away. I mean, in the game when the Steelers played him, Mike Tomlin was like, I don't ever want to be in a position to be able to draft you. You know, like
draft you, yeah.
That's because if I did, that means I was really bad last year. Yeah. And Chase, I believe Chase went 2nd overall in his draft. But yeah, it's just when you see guys that are built like that, that's a different level. They're what Jadeveon Clowney is supposed to be. You know, with the way that he's built. So that to me, though, is a big reason why I think TJ Watt is such a great Steeler, because so many of the great Steelers, they weren't the biggest, they weren't the fastest, they weren't the tallest. They didn't jump, but they got the jump. Troy Polamalu wasn't the fastest, wasn't the biggest, just made ridiculous plays. Franco Harris, same thing. Hines Ward, same thing. You know, it continues to be the thing. And for TJ Watt, not the biggest, not the most explosive, but you just know he's coming for you. He's going to be a problem. And the other thing is that he don't say much. He don't do much. He just makes his plays, does his kick stomp, and gets back in the huddle and does his thing. Yeah. To me, that I get why Steelers fans are pushed to get more out there, because there's not enough talked about that guy with all the things he does for the defense.
Yeah, it is kind of wild to think that like there are some people that underrate TJ Watt, and you're like, excuse me, how are you underrating TJ Watt of all players? Yeah. But I think that's also kind of like a little bit of the MO that fuels him even more. I mean, we heard him talk after the fact that he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, and he, you know, was like, all right, it's a goal for me next year. Like, I'm just going to keep working. That's going to motivate me more. And that is the type of guy that he is. And you see that from him so consistently.
I agree. It's something that Steelers fans, they're looking forward to seeing more consistently this year too, because if he's having another big year and the defense is really getting after it, it means probably that offense is going to get a lot more opportunities to run the football and test out, hey, let's see what Najee Harris and this offensive line can put together, because they're doing that. I think that's going to put them in a really much better situation to beat some of these teams that are going to have these premier quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and all the guys that they're about to face this season. So interesting stuff there on where TJ Watt was ranked. Again, you could check that list out on ESPN from Jeremy Fowler, their ESPN insider there. Jenna, thanks so much for making this time to be on the show. It's always great to have you on the Locked On Steelers podcast. You always kill it here. Let people know they can find you, follow you, get more of your work, and some of the things that you're working on at Channel 11.
Well, it's always, always great to be here. So thank you, as always, for having me. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna Harner 11, Instagram, Jenna_Harner. A bunch of stuff on WPXI. We are kind of really diving in, getting into Olympic coverage, getting into Hall of Fame coverage. We got some really cool pieces coming in on all the Steelers that are going to be inducted as part of the classes of 2020 and 2021. So I've put together a couple really, really awesome stories that I've been so honored to tell. A story about Troy Polamalu and some of his secret visits to UPMC Children's Hospital, which was one of the coolest things, I actually talked to a family that visited with him. And it was crazy because they didn't know who he was. So when the nurses were like, oh, do you want Troy to come back? They were like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Bring him back. And then they realized who he was and they were like, oh my goodness. So really, really cool stuff. The story on Bill Nunn, I talked with his granddaughter about his legacy and just, you know, how they're keeping his legacy alive. It's just really awesome stuff. It's been such an honor and a privilege to be able to tell. So keep an eye out for that in August.
Absolutely. Do keep an eye out for those. It's going to be some amazing things that they got going on at Channel 11. Really appreciate. Thanks again, Jenna, for coming on. And thank you for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. Again, I'm your host, Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can always read my work at dkpittsburghsports.com. And you can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcast, and the app Odyssey. That's AUDACY Odyssey. Thanks again for listening. Now, we do have a schedule update here in the program. We were scheduled to do Fantasy Draft Friday with the Jens Hers podcast hosts, but unfortunately, we had to make a schedule arrangement with just some adaptations in the middle of the week. It's summer. These things happen. They'll be with us hopefully next week. We're not going to do Fantasy Draft Friday, but we are having Arthur Motes, the former Steeler, current broadcaster on Steeler Nation Radio. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. So we're still going to have some fun times with Arthur Motes on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Tune in then. Remember to subscribe to us and give us those 5-star ratings. And Chris Carter, thanks for listening. Back to you here soon.